Thanks again for listening, and join us in building up the kingdom by sharing Pod Apostle with a friend.
Father Michael got shorter and lost a lot of hair. Just to introduce myself very quickly, my name is Father Niall Gross. I am a priest of the Archdiocese of New Orleans. I don't have a parish. I am a diocesan priest. I would love to be in a parish, but because God has a sense of humor, I am a professor of liturgy at Notre Dame Seminary. So it is good to be in a parish with regular people and not seminarians. For those who don't know, a seminarian is someone who's studying for the priesthood, because they already think they know everything. So they're much more critical than most people are, but feel free to be critical. It's okay. I am here today, I guess, as an introduction, and over the next 3 days, as I will be giving a mission, the Lenten mission in the parish. I guess I'm supposed to plug myself. I'm not very good at that. But Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 6 o'clock, Tuesday's Mass. There's something about confessions in there. I think it's in the bulletin. There we go. There's my plug. Okay. Imagine it's 2,000 years ago, and you are a Jewish man, Jewish woman, and it's about this time of year, beautiful weather, spring, and one of the great feasts of the Jewish faith is coming up, fast approaching, the Passover. So you, along with millions of other Jews all around the world, go in the long pilgrimage to go to the temple. The temple of Jerusalem being the only place that the Jews could worship God, the only place that they could offer sacrifice, because it was the place, it was the sign of God's presence here on earth. Prior to the destruction of the first temple, it was here that the glory cloud, the pillar of fire that the Israelites followed out of slavery in Egypt, would place itself. The fire would literally come down upon the temple during the great feast. So here is where everyone must go. Here was that great place of worship and recognition that God is present still to the world. And as you walk into the outer court, it seems to be a normal day. You look around, you try to pray, but then in the corner, you notice a commotion. You notice some man out there screaming at money changers, making whips out of cords, flipping over tables, and driving people out of the temple. You see the Jewish people asking him, "Give us a sign that you have an authority to do this." As we see in the second reading today from Corinthians, the Jews loved their signs. Jesus was always working signs. They didn't always listen. But give us a sign to prove to us that you have the authority to change our practices. And imagine the astonishment of hearing what his sign was. This temple that it's taken 46 years for you to build, you can destroy it tomorrow, and I will rebuild it in 3 days. It's no wonder that most Jews, most people, did not follow Jesus Christ. Who is this madman in the corner? But it does pose a question to each of us. Who do we say that Jesus Christ is? What is our image of Christ? Jesus asked this to the apostles constantly, "Who do you say that I am?" And it is an important question for us to answer. Many times we have an image in our own head, and it's very nice, of Jesus Christ as, and if I offend anybody, I'm sorry, but the happy hippie. The guy who's always smiling, arms wide open, saying, "I love you all just the way you are." And there is some truth to that. There's nothing wrong with it. But as we can see in episodes in the gospel such as today, Jesus Christ was not always what we consider welcoming. He could have righteous anger. He could do this because he knows that he does not want us to stay right where we are. He does not want us to stay in our sinfulness. He wants to call us closer to himself. He wants us to recognize the greater call that God has for us. Why is it that Jesus is so upset? Why is it that he needs to cleanse, to purify the temple of the money changers? There are a few theories, some good, some better than others. One theory, which may be true, probably was at least a little bit, was that the money changers who were there were cheating the people out of money. They used to have balances and weights, and they would mess with the weights. We know that happened because Jesus says it himself in other places in the gospel. But St. John does not tell us that in today's gospel, but he does give us a clue of why it was that Jesus was so upset. He says that all of this was happening inside the temple, inside that great place of worship, not outside the walls, not somewhere else. But money changers, the buying and selling of sacrificial elements, animals, was happening within the temple walls. More precisely, it was probably happening in the court of the Gentiles, the most outer part courtyard. And this is important for us to recognize because the faith of the Jewish people was not held just by the Jews themselves. They so showed and demonstrated their love of the one true God that pagans, Gentiles, would also begin to believe in that one true God. And on the great feast, the pagans, the Gentiles, would also come, and they would want to worship God as well. But when they would come to the temple, it would be a marketplace, a place of trade, not a place of worship. And Jesus Christ knew that God had promised from Adam and Eve, from all the prophets of the Old Testament, that God did not come just to save the Jewish people, but to save all people in the world. And so the place in the temple that was for their worship must also be clean. What does this episode mean to us today? Why is it even important? Why are we including it today in the Lenten readings? Probably the most important reason is because of the words that Jesus Christ lets us know about in his sign, the greatest of all signs. If you destroy this temple, in 3 days I will build it up. Seemingly crazy at the time, but then St. John tells us the key to understand this, that he's talking about the temple of his body. And why is Jesus Christ this new temple? Because now he is the place of worship. He is the place where divinity and humanity come together. He who was born of the Virgin Mary, the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God, takes on human flesh in the incarnation and dwells among us. He is the new place of worship. And so he recognizes the importance of the symbolism of purifying the temple, just as today we recognize the importance of purifying his body, his mystical body, the church. And each of us here today, because of our baptisms, is a member of the body of Christ, which means we are all part of that temple. We are the building blocks of that invisible temple that is the mystical body, the church. We must also purify ourselves, just as Jesus Christ did. We must look at our own lives, especially during this Lenten season, and ask, what are the money changers in my own life? Where am I failing to live up to God's call? Where am I neglecting to worship God? In our first reading today, we get a long list. We get the Ten Commandments, and we know how many of these we break, because we are all sinners. I won't say it's nothing to be ashamed of, but it is a reality. We all sin, but we recognize the great mercy of God. Whether it's pride, whether it's addiction, whether it's alcohol, pornography, whatever it may be that overcomes us, that pulls us away from God, relationships we might have, friendships that are constantly bringing us away from the life of Christ, we are called now to look at our own lives and to cleanse the temples of our hearts. It can be a very difficult thing, but it is also one of the most important things that we will ever do. Because our bodies are meant to be a sacrifice. Our bodies are meant to demonstrate the love of God in the world. St. Paul says in Romans 12, make your bodies a spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God. That everything that we do is a sign for others to look at. Every time we walk outside of these walls, people should look at us and be able to see, recognize something different. Recognize a joy, recognize a peace, recognize the love of Jesus Christ which flows through us because of the sacraments. Can we say that about ourselves? I know that I can't always say that. The collar doesn't always make it happen. But this is what we are called to as Christians, to constantly be giving worship to God through our bodies. But another way we do this, another way, and probably the most profound way that we do this, is in the sacraments themselves. We go to confession to purify our hearts. We come here to the Mass on Sundays, the greatest of all prayers, and we ask God to be with us. And because I am in some way supposed to plug my talk for the next 3 days, which is going to be about the Mass, going to be about how it is a great preparation for us, not just for the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which we celebrate at every Mass, but also a preparation for our own resurrection, the resurrection of our own bodies at the end of time. And so just one example of that we can see in the Mass can be seen in the offertory. Yes, the offertory, they bring the bread and the wine, the gifts forward. Most notably, what your job is to reach into your pockets or purses and take out money and put it in a basket. That's not the most important thing. I had to tell Father Michael, please put a lot of money in there. I'm not telling you not to do that. But the most important thing, that most important aspect of the offertory is that we offer our very lives to Jesus Christ, our difficulties, our struggles, our talents. We're telling Jesus Christ to take all of these away from us, to help us, to lift us, so that we will not be burdened by them any longer, any of these worldly things. And then immediately after the offertory, we have one of the oldest prayers that we can find in the liturgy. And it's a very small prayer, but it's there ever since the first century. And it's when the priest says, "Lift up your hearts." And you respond, "We lift them up to the Lord." What does this mean? Lift up your hearts means that at this point in the Mass, we recognize that we want to lift our hearts and minds to the heavenly kingdom. Every time we celebrate the Mass, we celebrate and worship God in the heavenly temple. We are literally with Jesus Christ, with the angels, the saints in heaven, worshiping God the Father. It's a great mystery. It's difficult for us to experience here in a real way because we are still here in this world. And so church buildings are built to help us to recognize that. We can see a tabernacle. We can see the angels and saints and statues and stained glass windows. So it is at this moment that we put aside our worldly concerns and enter into the heavenly kingdom. St. Cyril of Jerusalem says it like this. He says, "For truly we should, in that most awesome hour, have our heart on high with God, and not below, thinking of earth and earthly things. The priest asked everyone in that hour to abandon all worldly thoughts or household cares, and to have your heart in heaven with the merciful God." Our lives can be difficult. There's much suffering, there are many difficulties, family life stresses. But what the church wants in the Mass is for 15 minutes or so after the lift up your hearts, we put all that aside and enjoy in peace, worship the Divine Father, that we worship with Jesus Christ, the angels and the saints, that we worship God the Father, not weighed down by all of our other thoughts, all of our other difficulties. This is that great opportunity for us to put that aside and just be in the presence of God. And it is a great gift. It is the greatest gift that he gives us as it leads to the reception of Jesus Christ himself in the Eucharist. But before we can do all of this, we must purify the temple of our hearts. Jesus Christ understood, and that's why he flipped the tables, drove out the money changers, the animals. That's why he cleansed the temple 2,000 years ago. But as members of his body, we are asked to do the same today, to take this time of Lent, to purify our hearts, our minds, to rid ourselves of anything that may be pulling us away from Jesus Christ, so that just as he was destroyed on the cross and rose 3 days later, we too, although we may have suffering in this world, although we may face certain persecutions in this world, although the culture may not accept us because of our beliefs, despite being beaten down and broken down in that way, we too can raise with him and have our own resurrection at the end of time to worship him in the heavenly kingdom. Let us prepare for that today. Let us begin today to prepare ourselves, to put aside our sins. During this Lenten season, we ask to do many things, to give up something, prayer, fasting, almsgiving. And if you're like me, you've probably already failed to do half of them. Start again. There's never too late to do repentance. It's never too late to start to cleanse the temple of our hearts. Because the most important decision that we have in our lives is to be with Christ, to worship him here on earth, to make our bodies a spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God, so that one day we can join in that great sacrifice in the heavenly kingdom.